Oh, it's working.
We finally got it to work.
Wow.
Technology, what a load of
Right.
bollocks.
It's a load of bollocks, isn't it?
It's the Wide Shut Webcast.
Hello, I'm Keelan Balderson, and we're joined on the line today for this very special relaunch of the Wide Shut Webcast with Daniel Bostock. I say relaunch because I tend to relaunch the show at least once a year and never actually get it going. Normally it's a yearly podcast with Tom Secker, and then I usually disappear again. I'm probably the least productive man in alternative media right now. but nonetheless, what better way to kick things off with a bang than with controversial comedian slash music parodist, I guess, slash YouTube commentator, Daniel Bostock. Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I struggle with the comedian part of it. I get called that all the time. That puts a bit of pressure on you then to be funny, and I just like doing my thing.
I think you are funny though, like even indirectly, and that's not a sort of bad
nice
thing.
Nice one.
You've got the banter. I like it. But you've had support from the likes of Gerard Batten of UKIP, and you even performed, I think, at a UKIP party conference. Probably a little while ago now it was, but...
Yeah, well, they played one of my videos. They asked me to perform. I'm terrible on anything where they say, come on stage in front of people. I can't do it. I stutter, I melt, I get things wrong. I can't speak, it's awful. I mean, it's different now I'm in a band. It's different when there's like five of you.
Yeah. And of course, you've also got the distinction of being called a troll by Owen Jones.
Yeah.
So, well done for that.
I love it. Yeah, a disturbed troll.
A disturbed troll, not just a normal troll.
It's funny because we used to get on before all this culture war kicked off and Brexit and Trump. We got on when I was just fighting parking tickets.
Yeah,
it's weird. I mean, I still like him. It's not that we just disagree. You know, he probably doesn't like me, but I don't really care.
Yeah,
on a one-to-one level, he's probably all right. You know, if you were stuck in a lift with him for a week, you'd become friends, wouldn't you?
Probably. I don't hate the guy. I keep tabs on him. I do follow him. I like some of the things he says. I think his his first book that he came out with about sort of the way we frame chaff society and put the working class down, that was quite decent...
I've never read it.
Yeah, that was his first sort of big thing, and it was quite a decent analysis of the situation back then, but... Then he became a bit of a gobshite.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah, he got quite big, and it's gone to his head a bit, I think.
Now, I'm sure we'll get to it in a bit more detail later. But how's the great lockdown of 2020 been treating you?
Well, to me, I'm in my element. I love it. I'm lazy. I'm still getting paid. I'm poddling about. I'm having cups of tea. I'm doing a bit of exercise. I've got my decks out at Loft. They've been up there nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
So I'm just getting on with it. I quite enjoy it. But at the same time, I wish it had never happened. I wish we're all at work. Well, healthy people, all that money that's been borrowed to look after people like me could have been... looking after the vulnerable people, or trillions, I think, has been borrowed. I don't know exact number.
It's hard to comprehend, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but that amount of money going in to protect the vulnerable, while young people like me who it isn't really affecting, could have gone to work.
And you're a barber, right, aren't you? So I'm assuming...
I'm a barber, yeah.
I'm assuming they're not letting you near that close to people, are you? Are they?
No.
Really?
No, it's looking like it's going to be another few months off.
Yeah.
By the looks of it, like I say, I'm not whinging at that. It's the bigger picture of the economy and things like this. What's future going to look like if it carries on?
Oh, you'll get loads of work afterwards, though. All these cavemen.
Oh, it'll be packed. It'll be packed. I mean, it's packed anyway. Tuesdays are quiet. I look forward to Tuesdays, but every other day is just packed solid. So it'd not be any different.
Yes. Yeah. I'm usually the introverted type, so you know, I've always worked from home freelancing. If I do go out, it's probably to the pub or something. So lockdown's not that big of a deal for me. But
no.
I've actually been going quite crackers, if I'm honest, though. I don't know what day it is. I start annoying
now.
People on social media that I've not chatted to in years, spamming people to come on to do shows. Thankfully, you were nice enough to come on and do a show.
Yeah, it's the thing of being told, isn't it? I don't mind staying in and doing nothing, but when I'm told I've got to, it's a bit different.
Yeah, then the inner rebelliousness comes out, doesn't it? And then you start thinking, well, I will fucking go out if no one's going to stop me. But so yeah, I did see your couple of your live DJ sets that you put out there. That seems to be a sort of a growing trend right now. I've got another mate that does that as well.
Yeah, everybody seemed to be doing it. Well, I've deleted those. It's some are into in my 20s. I've got over 1,000 records in Loft, and I went through them. It took me days and days on end, and 90% of them are the biggest load of crap I've ever heard. I don't know why I bought them. But there's a few gems in there, a few classics, so I've got all them out. I don't know what I'm going to do with them all. But even then, I listen back to it. I'm thinking, as a 40-year-old, this sounds awful.
Just noise.
Yeah. Yeah, just noise, just bloody awful noise. But, you know,
you've got to find something to pass the time, I guess. I mean,
you have, yeah.
I stupidly forked out for a 4K gaming monitor and new graphics cards, so now I'm officially a gaming nerd.
Yeah. Oh, I can't get into games. They wind me up so much. I had a Sega Mega Drive, and since then I've never had anything.
Mate, the Mega Drive was the best.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Streets of Rage?
Oh, I loved Streets of Rage. Loved
it. They just brought out a remastered, an amazing, the fourth version of it.
It's actually really
good on a 4K screen with all this.
Well, these are the games I can play. Little short bursts. It doesn't take weeks to bloody build up, you know, artillery and all that stuff that I see my lad doing. No, I can't be doing with that. I get obsessed, you see, with stuff.
Yeah, some of those games really do take over your life.
Mm.
If you want to actually, progress in them.
Yeah.
Now, I think our audiences overlap ever so slightly. Maybe they did years ago a bit more than they do now, I'm not so sure. But, you know, I first became aware of your stuff when you were doing the whole talking shit to the bailiffs and the TV license goons and all that kind of thing. Are you still still a bit of a muckraker in that department?
No.
No?
No, not really. I mean, I don't get myself into them situations anymore.
No.
But, I mean, the thing that put me off was the amount of people who wanted help with parking tickets who would just park willy-nilly anywhere. Double yellow line, speed into, and I'm thinking you can't do that.
Yeah,
I mean the ones mine were quite genuine. I nipped at Butcher's. It took me 5-10 minutes on a Friday, every Friday, and I'd park in this place. There'd be hardly any cars about, so it weren't like I was causing an inconvenience to anyone. I pay my road tax, and you know there's a fairness about parking tickets, but then you can use the same methods of beating these fair ones as you can with those the way people just park willy-nilly.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And it would hurt my head in, because I'm thinking I don't want to help this guy because he's obviously not responsible, and it wouldn't all of them lower that nearly. So I stopped doing it.
And of course, you got those sort of free man on the land types that would.
Oh, I was into all that. I were. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I went through it.
Oh, yeah, all these things are experiences, you know.
They are, yeah. I learnt a lot about myself. I did learn some things out about the law, but, you know, I'm glad I got sucked into a lot of stuff that turned out to be bullshit. Because you learn more about yourself when you do that.
You do, you definitely do.
But,
I mean, as far as, activism goes, at least that kind of stuff, when you're dealing with TV licensing or bailiffs or whatever... At least it wastes the establishment's time, you know. It's probably more effective than marching down the street. I don't know.
Absolutely, I think so. And people watch it, and it does empower people when they see somebody saying no.
Yeah,
I'm not putting up with this, and they win. You know, it's quite empowering, because that's how I got the courage to do it, by watching other people doing it. And I thought, well, you've just got to. It's easy. It's the thing in your mind. Most people think, oh, I'm going to have to go to court and it's going to involve police and I might go to prison. That's how people think, that there's going to be prison time at the end of these parking tickets, or you're going to be up in court. And it's not like that. They're not even registered, these CCJs, so you never go to court.
No.
You never actually go to a courtroom. Well, I've never known anybody to, anyway. And they don't show up on your credit score, so...
Well, I was one of these people that never paid the TV license for years and years. I kind of convinced my family that it was a bad idea and that you're going to save some money, so they went along with my militancy at the time. And now that I live in private renting, mostly the landlords pay it anyway, so I'm not really fussed about it anymore. But but that whole debate actually recently came back into the limelight, whether we should have an opt-in model for the BBC or a subscription service. And personally, I think that's the fairest, you know, kind of most democratic way to go about it.
I do.
Whether that would be sustainable is not really my concern. It will be if people care enough about the BBC, and if they don't, then maybe the BBC is not fit for purpose and... Let it fuck off, I don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, if they changed the way they do things, it was more fair and they had voices on it. I don't know, they're just really unfair and that pisses me off even more.
Yeah.
It's not value for money in my opinion. But then it's the moral argument of that you're being forced to do this. You're being forced to pay for them, something you don't agree with.
And I mean, I've got lecturers at uni that would just argue, you know, this is the best system the world has ever seen. It's the envy of the world. People need to be educated and informed. And in a perfect world, if that was the case, perhaps. But still, it's still that elitist, we know what's best for you and we think you should pay for this. No, let the people decide. And if they think it's a load of shit, then maybe it's a load of shit and you're talking out your ass. And what's depressing, like you alluded to earlier, it's usually the most vulnerable in society, those that can't really afford it, that don't know their rights. They're the ones that let the enforcement officers into the house and then they admit guilt and then they're the ones that get fined. Whereas people like you that stand up to it, or, you know, we had some enforcement guy come round and we were just like, oh, sorry, not today, can you come back tomorrow, and shut the door and there you go. But it's the people that are scared, single mums, vulnerable people, they go, oh, and they let them in and then they admit that they haven't got a license or they've been watching television, and they're the ones that get hauled up and fined for it. So
absolutely,
it's a tax on the vulnerable.
It's the fear that keeps it going. No way to run a society.
No. Something I've been doing recently, which I've been getting a bit of a kick out of, is going through every single one of my YouTube videos and forcing them to re-manually review them for all the copyright strikes and the community strikes. And I'm just imagining some poor staffer that's been left behind during coronavirus having to watch my 10-year-old rants on YouTube.
Yeah.
But it's actually gone quite well. Like, a lot of the monetization's been switched back on. I beat ITV in a fair use claim. I beat Warner Brothers in a fair use claim. So it's definitely worth, you know, if you have an evening, just to go through and see whether any of these strikes are actually legitimate, because fair use is actually a thing.
Yes,
and a lot of the times, if you push it, they will turn it around and take the strikes away. So
that's I might try that. I think I have tried it and I have lost one, but if I just go through them all, because my parodies are classed as fair use, a lot of them.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some of them where I've used the actual instrumental for the original song that had never come under fair use, but a lot of them I buy them from karaoke sites, and you buy them and you get the rights off them, then you can use them for commercial. You know, and they've been claimed.
I think the law is, as long as it's transformative and it's, you know, parody itself is protected. So
yeah, if it's changed enough. Yeah,
because you're not passing it off as the real thing. No one's going to search for, like, I don't know.
That's it.
Some random Backstreet Boys song and find your song and think, oh, I'll play this instead.
Like, no.
It's not the same song, is it?
No.
And I know you've had your fair share of videos taken down or blocked for
so-called
hate speech and things. I don't know.
Absolutely. Some of them I saw. I'm totally for, I think, absolute free speech, apart from, you know, calling for violence and things. I think you should be able to say what you want. But I do understand, like, the Blackstreet Boys one I did with a blackface in it, that is really edgy.
It's very edgy.
It's unbelievable. And I knew it were going to be taken down. I don't understand, actually. It's because it's obviously fun.
There's like, a lot of your videos, from a glance, it's, what the hell is this? But
yeah,
you do, there are messages there if you kind of look a bit deeper, if you know what I mean. It's not It's not all just being controversial for controversial sake. At least that's the way I see it. You do seem to at least be making a point sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I try and do. That is what I try and do. It is, but you can look at my channel and think I am some far right person.
Mm.
That's what it does look like. But I'm not. I'm completely libertarian.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very spiritual in the idea that we are all equal. We are made up of atoms and cells and all this. I don't know. It's bizarre. Life is. It blows my mind. I cannot understand that somebody feels superior to somebody else because of their race or gender or out like that.
Now, I said at the start there, I called you a comedian of sorts. There's all sorts of labels that get thrown around these days. Obviously, you've got your parody music videos there, comedic. Kind of an edgier version of Weird Al Yankovic, I suppose. That kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And you've also got your funny barbershop conspiracy videos as well, where you sit down and have a chat with people. But in a world of labels, how do you see yourself? Are you a comedian? Are you a troll, as Owen Jones says? Are you an alt-right Nazi? How do you personally look at what you do? What are your aims? What are your goals? What do you think of yourself?
Well, I think the troll probably fits more than anything.
Yeah.
But I've always been a piss taker. Me and my mates, that's all we've ever done growing up. We've had the same circle of friends since we were kids, and it's just about taking piss and having a laugh and making fun. I don't know, but it sounds awful, but that's just who we are.
Yeah, but I think real life, like down the pub, if you can't rip the piss out of your friend, then they're not your friend.
Yeah.
It's part of, I don't know, letting off steam and just...
Absolutely. You don't have to get too personal, but, you know, it's just always been like that. And I don't know that I just see that reflected in my videos. I mean, I never single anybody out. I mean, I've made my videos about Owen Jones and Kate Smurthwaite and a few other people, but it's... I don't know. I've not singled them out based on
their... They're worth pointing out, though, because obviously they're public figures, aren't they?
Yeah, and I never focus on like the race, the gender, their homosexuality. It does not bother me one bit. But my videos are based. There's a sort of cultural. There's activism going on both sides.
Yeah,
and my videos do focus on their rhetoric as activists.
Yeah, so it's sort of culture war, the pushing back against the SJW, the regressive left kind of
their
stuff.
Their ideas and their hypocrisies and things. Yeah, I made a video of Blurred Lines. The Blurred Lines video, I can't remember what it's called now. And there's like nude women on there, and there's that Robin Thicke and that other guy singing. And I made one of them about the LGBT community.
Mm, I was going to get to that.
And the fat acceptance ones. And that is a bit, there's some nasty little things in there, but it is going after the rhetoric of the activists.
Yeah.
But I can see how somebody had watched that and think, oh, really homophobic and all that.
Well, actually, when I did that NCTJ article, I actually did take that video and showed it to a young trans lad.
Yeah.
And you've got lyrics in there like, what do you dress like freaks for?
Yeah.
That's just not natural, you've been emasculated. And out of context, that sounds quite harsh. I think it is. Maybe I'll splice some of the songs and stuff in, maybe in post-production or something, I don't know.
Everybody man up. Shout and cry. Okay, that feels gross, but I still don't hate you.
And this is what this guy said. He said, the way he takes the piss out of trans people is quite upsetting. I struggle to comprehend why he's even allowed to publish such bigoted videos.
Yeah.
And you did go into it a little bit there, but what would you say to this person? You know, what was the thinking behind the video? What point were you trying to make? Because I don't think you're necessarily anti-trans, are you?
No, absolutely no. No. It's an awful... I'm embarrassed a bit by it, but see, what tends to happen is when I'm writing these, because those words, they sound like the words of the original song. It's funny, it's like putting a jigsaw together of words that sound like the original. So I don't just take the end word like a lot of rappers do and make that rhyme with the end word on the next line. I try and make every word in the sentence rhyme.
Mm.
And they just happen to rhyme like that. And as I'm writing it, I'm thinking, God, this is awful. But it sounds amazing. And I put it out. And that's a lot to do with it, I must say. You find a lot of words rhyme. You write as many out as you can that rhyme. And then you choose the words from each category of the sentence. Do you know what I mean? So it might take me an whole night to write one sentence, and you piece all the words that are relevant to what's going off, like culturally or with these activists, what they're saying, you piece them together, and it does come out like that sometimes. But I've got no excuses for that video. I watch it back now and I think, God, that is an awful thing to say about someone, because a lot of these people are going through things, aren't they?
Mm.
It's not like they've become trans and they're totally happy and things that they have. They've got things going on with their lives, and I wouldn't want them to see it. So there is that. I'd apologise to him and say, look, I'm not that person.
Yeah. But again, it's not directed necessarily at a single person either, is it though?
So, no.
And there are elements of any kind of movement that are worth challenging. I think everyone should be challenging ideas and you know, having open dialogue.
Yes, I think so, yeah. See, the guy, I can't remember his name, who's in that video, who I'm saying, what I'm talking about his trousers and why he looks like a freak and that. He is one of these far left-wing activists.
Yeah.
I've seen some interviews with him, and it were terrible, some of the things he was saying. Why I want it should be in schools and things. It should be taught in schools, my lifestyle. And when you look at the statistics and things of the LGBT type of lifestyle, there is high rates of drug abuse and violence, suicidal. It's not a healthy lifestyle choice. But what they blame it is on the bigotry. But it's consistent right around the world. In areas that are quite welcoming of that sort of lifestyle, it's the same rates.
Well, there's got to be some common sense with it. If we're going to teach all these new changes in society in classrooms,
it comes natural, though, doesn't it?
You've got to do it in a common sense way, I think. I mean,
well, I think it's done through the culture rather than through schools. You can look back 30 years, 40, 50, and it were more racist, it were more homophobic and non-accepting. And as time's gone on, it's not been infused into children's mind through school system. People have become more relaxed with it. They've seen them pop bands and bloody films with it in. It's, you know, we've become less stringent on us Christian values, I think.
Mm. So you are a Christian, are you?
No, I'm not. I understand that the teachings of Christ and all that are fantastic, and that the foundation of his whole society, and I appreciate it. But I wouldn't call myself a Christian. I'd like to live as a Christian. I would, yeah. But I like my weed too much. I like to get stoned. I do.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's banned in the Bible or not. To be honest, I mean,
no.
Jesus certainly drank, so I don't see much difference.
Yeah, and I'm dating a lot lately, and all that. That's not really Christian, is it?
I really don't know. I know next to nothing about religions, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I did go to a churchy school where they make you sing hymns and stuff, but that's about the limit of it. They just make you sing, and then you're like, what the fuck's going on?
My grandma were very Christian, but, you know, growing up. It's only the last few years I've sort of appreciated it more.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bible. There's a lot of different angles you can come at the Bible from.
I find it interesting how, with the influx of Eastern Europeans, that Christianity sort of seen a boost in this country because they arrived.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
That's quite interesting.
Catholics and things.
So what's your process when you sit down and sort of make these videos and brainstorm ideas for videos? Are you considering people's feelings when you do it, or is it more about the broader activism element of it?
Yeah, it is about that. The thing about considering people's feelings, I don't think it crosses my mind much, apart from, like, you can tell when something's nasty.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they're living next door to Ali. It's just based on a stereotype, you know, a terrorist groomer who follows Islam who moves in next door. It's a stereotype, isn't it?
But you see that in movies not so long ago. So it's not too far out of the realm, is it, really?
No, it's not. If it were made by Chubby Brown or something with those exact lyrics a few years ago, it would have been a big hit.
But even just things like Team America, that's all based off of stereotypes and stuff.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Muslims walking around going, durka, 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 and then getting bombed. Like, okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
So,
what was the question? What was the process?
Yeah, what's the process you go through when you're deciding?
I have to listen to a lot of songs.
Yeah.
A good example is the Blur Far Right one.
Mm.
And I thought, well, that I can't really sing, so I have to be careful what I choose. And I thought, listen, when it were going Park Life, I'm thinking, right, what rhymes with Park Life that's relevant? And it took a while to come, but Far Right. there's a website called Rhyme Zone, so you can put the word park in and it'll give you all the words that rhyme with park, and then in another section it'll give you words that nearly rhyme, and you just go through them and pick it. And then when it come to me, Far Right, I thought, oh my god, this is perfect. So then what you've got to do is go back to beginning at song. What does he say? I can't remember what he says, but I just take the words that stand out more in the line, and then just, you know, make a load of a list of words that rhyme, and you choose out the words that are relevant, you know.
And that song was the sort of premise that, you know, no matter what you do, you get labelled far right, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. There's a line in there that Corbyn's poo smells adorable or something. And if you don't agree, you're known as far right, something like that. But that's a good example, yeah.
Intolerance is a preference of the far left, which portray everyone else as far right. Corbyn's poo tastes adorable, and if you dispute that, you are known as far right.
Have you seen what his brother's been up to lately?
Not recently, but like 6 months ago, I started watching some of his
Piers
some
Corbyn. He fell off the deep end, definitely. I nearly interviewed him, it must have been 8 years ago now, because he...
Has he said something?
Originally he was like a... I believe he was, maybe that was all horseshit. He's like a meteorologist or some kind of weather guy. So he's always been a climate change denier. And back then I was kind of part of that ilk a bit. So I wanted to have him on for a podcast or whatever. But no, he's been popping up recently, protesting the lockdown and getting, you know, battered down by police in London.
And oh my
Jeremy
God!
Jeremy Corbyn's brother.
I've not seen that. I think last bit thing I seen of him, which surprised me about him, he seemed really socialist. Some of the things he was saying, because they were asking about his brother, and he says, "Well, I agree with him on virtually everything, apart from this, this, and this."
Yeah,
I can't remember the full interview, but he sounded really quite far to the left on political spectrum. Yeah. That surprised me about him. Yeah.
Well, it must be weird growing up with Jeremy Corbyn as your brother. You're just the wacky brother that has to sit there at Christmas dinner.
It is the funny one, isn't it, Piers? He's got some character about him.
Yeah, with his Einstein hair and everything. Are you like a free speech absolutist, or do you think there's limits that can be put on free speech? I know we've just had this whole David Icke getting wiped off of YouTube and social media in the vein of Alex Jones.
Because I don't agree.
He peddled all that 5G nonsense. And then there was that documentary called Plandemic about Corona, which was completely sort of blackballed. What's your personal line on free speech? Should people be able to say anything if it offends?
I think so. If it offends, if it's... People don't have to watch it. I mean, it's media that blow it all out, and so everybody sees it once the media start talking about it. But no, don't incite violence. There's something on street about causing alarm, harassment, and distress.
Mm.
You know, the street, but the internet's not like that. Say what you flipping want. You know, swear, bloody. That's how I see it anyway. Because the people who do that, they get piled onto. They can't get piled onto if they're not there doing it. Do you know what I mean?
With this Icke stuff, though, there was... I'm not sure if he's directly responsible. You can never really make that connection because he's never said, go out and burn 5G towers. But there has been some kind of...
There's not just him, is there? There's a lot of people. There's some quite credible people saying we need to look into... the dangers of 5G and things.
Yeah.
The linking it to coronavirus is complete horseshit. I can't understand.
No, it doesn't make any sense because
you've got
the virus in countries without 5G.
For
some reason the symptoms disappear because they said the same for 4G, that it's going to make people ill, but surely that should be a long-term issue if it's constantly on. But I don't
know. Doesn't worry me a lot. It could be a distraction from all the security concerns.
Perhaps.
That 5G brings, yeah. If they're talking about this, they're not talking about this.
But, I think with the Icke stuff, personally, I hadn't heard his name in years because I was kind of backed out of all that kind of scene. I used to like keeping Icke on the periphery just to see what he was saying. But
yeah.
He gets banned, his videos get banned, the mainstream media put him all over the BBC, and now all of a sudden he's more popular than ever. If anything, the banning has actually helped him, and now he's got more viewers.
Yes.
So, what's all
that
about?
That happens. That happens a lot.
Is that backfiring, or is that what they actually wanted to happen? You know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, it'll be a spike. There'll be a big burst of interest, but you know it'll probably wear off like it did with Alex Jones. Is not getting nowhere near the views that he used to get.
No, now he's going on coke-filled police chases and going absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I mean InfoWars is doing well with the articles. He's still getting a lot of his radio show and his TV show. It's gone right down.
Have you seen his His ex-wife is now becoming a prominent figure.
I've not seen what she's up to. I saw some bits when they were going through the court process.
Mm. Yeah, I follow her on Twitter, and she's always delivering all this kind of information. I mean, she might be worth someone talking to, but that would be an absolute legal minefield, I guess.
Yeah, it would, yeah. Is she always speaking out against Alex?
Oh, all the time, all the time.
Oh, wow, I've got to go.
There's so much dirt that she dishes. It's some areas.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I was saying, like, you ban Ike, or you ban your videos, or you ban my videos. If one site shuts down, then another one opens. And
yes,
if anything, if you are one of these slightly loony people, all it does is make you more radical, because you've now been confirmed that the establishment is after you. It's the same with, like, cults and terrorists. You've now got leaders that can say, look, there's this outside threat, they've shut us down, you must listen to me, rallies the troops, everyone becomes more radicalized. It doesn't change their opinions, it just puts them in a darker corner of the web. And to me, that could be more dangerous than just letting them be on YouTube and letting them be challenged openly.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it does work sometimes, but overall, I mean, people creep off, and over time, people will creep onto other platforms, and they'll be spread out then amongst all these smaller platforms, your TikToks and your VKs and Telegram and things like that. There's Gab, and there's some of them will survive, some of them won't, but I don't know. I think it's just a matter of time.
I mean, I know BitChute, is it? Is sort of
a
bit of a YouTube that's alternative.
Yeah, that's doing quite well in a way.
Tell me a bit about that, because I'm probably looking to archive some of my stuff on there.
I don't look on it much, to be honest. I've got a channel, and my videos automatically from YouTube go onto there.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it does quite. I think I've got like 3,000 followers on there.
Oh, that's not
but
bad.
There's several million on there at the moment.
And they're pretty sort of everything goes, are they?
Yeah, everything goes. There has been some videos they've removed, I think, like porn and things like this.
Well, yeah, there's still got to be a line, hasn't there? Like,
yeah, but they are doing really well, and they're always advancing. So they're trying to monetize videos at the moment somehow, and do live streams and things. This is all in the pipeline, but you just can't beat YouTube. It's easy, it's on my smart TV, it's everywhere.
And it's where mostly where the views are, because that's where people are, so it's...
Yeah, because people are trying to make a bit of money off it as well, you see.
Yeah, they do have that monopoly. I'm all for the private company aspect argument to a lot of this, that, well, they can do what they want. But also, we're in a new age, new technology. This is the public square. This is where people congregate and give opinions. You know, it used to be the marketplace. It used to be the newspapers in the comments. Now it's YouTube. I think there's more to it than a private company can do what they want. They need to be a bit more democratic, I think.
I think there should be a Bill of Rights, like an Internet Bill of Rights, so we're clear on what the rules are. Because now they can just change them, and Sargon gets videos removed with no explanation. If there was, it'll come one day. It's a long process, isn't it, history, and it's a very long process. I mean, this is just part of the process.
Yeah. I mean, I've maybe had, none of it ever makes sense. The algorithms themselves are just completely, they don't really work. But
no.
I've had maybe 5 or 6 videos removed from YouTube over the years, and oddly, they've never been conspiracy videos, or what people might call conspiracy videos. So I've never had my 7/7 documentaries taken down. I've never had any of that removed. They've all stayed up there. But one video that got taken down was a debunking of Alex Jones's Boston bombing theories.
Wow.
Like, what? Why? And it was for harassment and bullying. And I'm like, was I bullying Alex Jones? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
That's crazy. It makes you wonder if somebody's requested for that to happen.
Maybe. I think there was a time period where some twat was just flagging everything because he didn't like me. But
yeah.
And another one I remember was, do you remember that news lady that got shot up? She was on a balcony, and this guy sort of filmed it with his phone.
Yes.
Mm.
And yeah, I remember it. We're in America, weren't it?
Mm. And there was a lot of people who, and I can't stand this element of online craziness, but all these people saying it was fake and crisis actors were involved.
Oh, yeah.
And her boyfriend wasn't really her boyfriend and all this kind of nonsense. And you couldn't see shell casings and it was all... I basically made a whole video going through step by step. Here are the shell casings. Here's where she was shot. Here's why it wasn't fake. Bloody, bloody, blah.
Yeah.
And that got removed. Whereas the conspiracy shit, a lot of it was still on there. So I think the algorithms are just broken, or that, or sometimes they just decide any topic is just out of bounds, regardless of which way you fall on it.
There was a panic period where media were talking about YouTube all the time and YouTubers allowing this, and I think they panicked a little bit.
Mm.
And probably just removed anything. I can imagine teams of young lefty people just going through thinking, no, this isn't cats playing piano, delete that.
Yeah, that's the thing though, like, who are these people? They're just young graduates
opinions, and they don't understand the philosophy of, like, being non-biased and looking at things. Now you can see it, you can imagine it, what it's like. Just regular. I wouldn't trust me to be flipping deleting opinions I didn't agree with.
I mean, you're always going to get little Hitlers that are just going to be like, nope, delete, nope.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does seem wise to sort of find a few places just to back up stuff in case YouTube becomes them-tube, as they say.
Yeah, I recently got my Facebook shut down and there were loads of videos and pictures of my children and things on there that I'd never get them back.
Oh, do they not even give you sort of like a data dump or anything that you can get from it?
No, not that I know of anyway. I just got a thing saying they disabled it. And because, like, I knew what a stupid idiot I was, I uploaded that Blackstreet Boys. Why did I do that? So I completely deserved it, my own stupidity.
Yeah, you've probably got to pick and choose where you release certain things in the future.
Yeah, I know. So, but that's all gone now. That's all gone. Every now and again I'll think, oh, wow, I had a picture of me and my mate at Glastonbury. That's gone, that is. Totally disappeared. And it was one of my favourite pictures.
Man, that sucks, really, if you can't get access to it.
No, whatever.
Because, I can't say I've ever saved anything I've put on Facebook. So.
No, I haven't, no.
Anyway, switching gears a little bit. Some people might know this, some people might not. But, you were actually invited to, a while back now, but to the UKIP party conference. What was that? What was that whole experience like?
Well, it was when I did the... I did a few parody songs, and I mentioned, because I liked UKIP at the time, and I'd mentioned UKIP in there, often about Brexit, and that UKIP will get it done and things. And then they just started getting in touch with me, and it got to a point where Gerard Batten had ring me up while they were out shopping and things, just to see what we're up to and things. It was so strange. Yeah, we've become quite friendly. We're still chatting now, but it's like over WhatsApp, and it's like every now and again. Yeah. We'll just say, hey, up Danny, all right. But yeah, UKIP, it was funny, UKIP, because it has it become a multi-issue party and not just about Brexit. The sort of zeitgeist of the country became just about Brexit when in its voting. Plus it had alt media and everybody against it, calling it all kinds of names that were turning people off, and it didn't seem like a serious party either anymore. It become sort of like a comedy show. UKIP did, but I loved it. I did. It sat right with me.
I mean, I got a quote when I did that article from the UKIP press office. I think it was from Chris Hicks.
Oh, Chris Hicks, yeah.
This is what he said about you. He said, "Daniel's parodies unsettle the mainstream with his effortless takeover of their pop hits. He takes them, shakes them around, and fills them with criticisms." Grounded in deep truths and has a laugh along the way.
Wow.
So
that's
it definitely seems like they were trying to get you in the fold there.
Yeah, they were, yeah. Well, the Channel 4, they had a 5-minute spot on Channel 4 UKIP did to put a part of political broadcast in there. And they wanted me to perform the Jake Bugg Brexit parody I did whilst I was cutting Gerard Batten's hair. So I'd perform it and it'd be playing on in background. And I'm just a working class lad from up north cutting his hair, and we're talking about UKIP, and this were going to be the ad, but Channel 4 wouldn't allow it. And not Channel 4, they couldn't get the copyright clearance from Jake Bugg's record label. So that slowed everything down.
I would have loved a conspiracy shit chat barber thing with Gerard Batten.
Yeah, that would have been great. Well, I'm hoping to do more of that, because the barbershop thing.
Yeah, I don't like. I don't know what it is. It's like a Ricky Gervais sketch or something. I look at it and think, are these lads actors? I don't get it.
No.
It's hilarious, whatever it is.
Genuine customers, they are, yeah. Well, I've been wanting to do it for ages and I just never got round to it. And as I started losing interest in making songs, I thought, why not just set a camera up, get my lapel mic on and do it? So I did it.
I think it's hilarious. It's better than any of the so-called comedy that we now get on television.
Oh, nice one. Thanks.
Mean, Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Oh, I've never watched it.
Oh, it makes you want to, like, put forks in your eyes.
Yeah,
I don't understand where comedy has gone in this country.
No, it's awful, isn't it? I mean, in the 70s, it may have been a little bit funny. I don't know, it's not funny at all, is it, basically?
I mean, we did have things like back in the day, Spitting Image, and I think during the Bush era, there was that funny cartoon, 2D TV, that kind of took the piss out of Bush and everyone. I feel like we don't take the piss enough anymore in this country.
No, we don't, do we? And that is what we are all about in England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales. The joking, the able to laugh at each other. It like replaces the swords and spears and the fists when you do that.
The only thing that annoys me with that, though, is Trump. Because Trump is so obviously someone you can joke about. He looks like a giant what's-it.
Yeah.
He says stupid things. But when you get professional comedians, they just say this, the most obvious mediocre. It's like, we get it. Trump's stupid.
Yeah,
get some new material. Like, it's the easiest low-hanging fruit.
It is, yeah.
But it seems to be what the mainstream likes, and that's...
Oh, they love it.
That's the way it goes, I guess.
Yeah, they can't stand it. They can't stand him. And Brexit, it's great.
And what do you think happened back with... So we had the whole UKIP YouTube personality era with Sargon and... Paul Joseph Watson and Count Dankula and all these sort of controversial figures that were sort of welcomed into UKIP. You got to play your song. Where was the momentum? It looked like, based on online numbers, that this could have an impact, but it didn't really seem to translate to the average man on the street. I don't know why that was.
I think there was a number of different things. There were Brexit Party, and then there were UKIP become less Brexit and more multi-issue party, and the population become less multi-issue and more about Brexit. And then you had alt media attacking him. And then I mean, Gerard Batten were a great leader. He did make some bad decisions. In a way, I'm thinking back now, I can't remember what they were, but I can remember thinking, oh, don't do this, don't do that. Just bringing Tommy Robinson into the UKIP sort of umbrella, not a wise thing. Move.
No.
Terrible thing to do that. Even though, you know, I believe that Tommy should have his free speech, and I like him, but I don't think he should have done that, Gerard. But, yeah, I think it were multiple different things. I think that Sargon must have put a lot of people off with his bloody rape joke.
Yeah.
His ironic rape comment.
Yeah, I mean, and he wouldn't really explain it.
No.
To how the, quote, normies would understand what he was getting at. It's a bit complex.
He should have just said, look, I'm sorry about that. I was trying to be funny and trying to bloody... poke at the irony in Jess Phillips' narrative, and it just come out as a horrible thing, and I wish I'd never done it. If he'd have said that, brilliant. I think he tried to justify it and keep saying it was okay and things. I don't know.
And then you got the whole milkshaking.
Yeah, stuff, milkshaking saga. Which... If UKIP had done well, if Nigel Farage had stuck with it, I think. In my opinion, it was a good. It was they had good policies, really good. I like their ideas about power stations and things like that.
I mean, I did vote for them way back in. I don't know what year it would have been. One of the EU elections many moons ago, but
yeah,
at the time, it made perfect sense to me. I was probably coming from more of an old left-wing perspective on the EU. Sort of anti-globalist, anti-corporate takeover of Europe kind of perspective.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I turn on the TV and everyone's like, it's all about racism. I'm like, what? When did that happen?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the most awful thing you can call something. And nobody wants to be a racist. It's a great, perfect little package. But it's been overused. So it doesn't mean anything anymore.
No.
To a lot of people. And like, if you do get your genuine racists, they get called racists and people aren't going to take it as serious.
Well, it's the same with a lot of things. If you cry wolf too long, then the real stuff gets kind of ignored. So what are some of your future plans? You're obviously very creative. You like to get painted up and dress as women. You've dressed as Adolf Hitler one time or two.
Yeah, I go through phases. I do. At the minute, I'm trying to sort my life out, decorate ass and things. I'm saving up for a new car and to go to Disneyland. So I'm focusing on that more than anything. Yeah. But yeah, it'll come, another burst of creativity. I think there's not much really to go at the moment apart from lockdown and coronavirus and things.
But do you enjoy that creative process of because not everyone, you know, I couldn't see myself dressing up and prancing around in front of a green screen.
once you've done it once,
there's obviously some uniqueness there.
Yeah, it's developed over years. I remember when I first started making videos. And I'm always a bit conscious and are unsure and things. But when you see likes and people agreeing with you and saying you're funny and this, that, it just encourages you to push envelope a bit more.
The worst is the dislikes. You've got to just get thick skin. Because
sometimes it
really can skewer you. If you're in a bad mood and someone says something that hits home and you're like, fuck.
They don't bother me really much. You get thicker skin as years go on. There's been a couple of nasty ones when they talk about your kids and that. I do delete those. And then I would going out with a girl for a bit who had a brain tumour. Somebody were laughing at that, saying, it couldn't have happened to a better person.
Wow.
They're the only two that really stand out to me.
Yeah, like I've got some 24-page PDF from some absolute mentalist going through calling me like crypto Jewish, just, you know, the gambit of weirdness. I'm a satanic pedophile. And
I've had videos put out. Wow, this is incredible. A few years ago, people were saying I'm a Freemason, I've joined Freemasons, or I was being paid all my new equipment. I bought some cheap lights and some green screen material. It were all paid for, you see. By whoever, Freemasons. Like, well, thing is, around August, this one last year, I was cutting a Freemason's hair, and I didn't know her a Freemason. I thought he'd worked for council. He says, I've got a meeting tonight. I says, you part of council? He says, no, it's with Freemasons. Well, we got talking after that, and that's it. Now I'm joining Freemasons. It was supposed to be my initiation ceremony on Monday, April the 6th. But because of coronavirus, all lodges have been shut down, so it's been moved to October. But you're the first person I've told.
They're desperate for members because no one gives a fuck anymore.
This is it. They're desperate for young people who are interested in the craft. This is what they've been explaining to me.
At uni, every year, there's like a welcome fair with stalls and weirdos from different political parties and whatever giving out their gum.
What's
happening?
A
Freemason stand. Trying to get young uni students to join the Freemasons.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like they're not struggling. I mean, they are struggling.
They are struggling, yeah. What they're getting is, they call them knife and fork masons, who just go for the meal and to meet other businessmen and things and to be part of some club. But people, they show me all numbers. Average age is something like 60. And nobody's taking the craft seriously. Well, it's been a grueling process to get in, I tell you. I've been interrogated and everything, been up in a panel of six. And once the interrogation's over, it's like they're all back to normal pally again and high-fiving. And it's interesting. I can't wait to get in. But it's not what I thought it were. When you look at all conspiracy about Freemasons, maybe there are some sects that are sort of Luciferian, have got these bigger agendas and things. But
I mean, you can imagine a local community, businessmen in that community, probably part of the Chamber of Commerce as well, scratching each other's backs. Okay, I get it, but they're not eating babies in the basement.
No, absolutely not, no. No, and you're a complete equal once you join.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these, they're solicitors and things like this. But I'm looking forward to see what it's about, but there's a lot they won't tell me, and I've tried to do some research and look in forums, and whenever you find Masons talking about your initiation ceremony, they don't tell you. There is some sort of code where you can't say things, and they keep telling me, look, it's not a secret society, it's a society with a few secrets. And I say, look, if it goes against my values, and they say, look, you can leave. Most people start and they leave. I says, I'm not doing anything freaky, but I don't know. I'm going to see what happens.
Look, if you ever get in a weird eyes wide shut situation, just, I don't know, we'll get an old fashioned pager and just beep me and let me know that everything's all right.
Yeah,
you're not being sacrificed. If
anything like that goes off where there's out weird with goats and bit, I'm out of there. Not my cup of tea, that.
Else Moloch will be chomping down on you.
Yeah. But yeah, now we've spoke about this, there's a few out there. There's two or three YouTubers that are certain I'm in Freemasons.
Oh, there'll be a video.
And I never I didn't even know any Freemasons. But now it's happened since about July, August, when I first got speaking to him, it started happening. They'll be loving it. They'll be loving every minute of this.
I did work experience once at an accountant's, and I was given this big file to go through and just, I don't know, I was probably just filing it away in a cabinet or something.
Yeah.
And after about 5 minutes, the woman comes in and goes, she takes it off me and she goes, oh no, you can't touch that. That's the Freemasons.
Oh,
and ever since then, I was like, oh, what's the Freemasons? And I went down the rabbit hole.
Oh my God.
And then what's the other one? I had an auntie who worked in the Ministry of Defence in some admin areas, and she said there was a bunch of files on Dr. David Kelly that she was instructed to put through the paper stripper or whatever. So
wow.
Whether those were files that reveal anything, I don't know, but that was always a funny thing as well that sticks in my mind.
You never know, there's a lot of people doing dodgy things out there.
Anyway, we touched briefly on lockdown. Obviously, it's affected everyone. You obviously had plans to go touring with your songs. What's the status of that?
Well, it's all on hold at the moment. We've been practicing. We've got the songs down to a T. As next phase was to hire this place out in Mansfield that lets you, so you can get used to taking your gear in there, setting it up, and singing on a stage. That were empty. It was just a little room you hire. And the event organizer, she's ready to go on a tour. Her name's Natty. She's from London. She organises events that like Sargon and Count Dankula speak at comedy clubs. There's Comedy Unleashed and things. Loads of places around England that we can do gigs at, comedy places and clubs.
Do they have any limits on the kind of content you're allowed to do, or is it all fair play?
Well, she knows about all that, all the places to do. She organises like men's rights events and things, and she knows, where we can do these events. And she sells, they get thousands of people sometimes, a thousand folk in there a lot of time in these places. So, but she's set it all up. She's on at me a good year and a half, saying, you know, we need to do something with these songs. We need to get your band set up. And I kept putting it off and putting it off. And then New Year's Day, I woke up and I had a text from her. Are we doing this? And I went, yeah. Let's do it. Oh, we're ready.
I mean, Weird Al's laughing all the way to the bank. I don't see why you can't have some of that parody pie.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Well, that were one at Porter of Messages. Let's make some money. It doesn't bother me. I never think about money ever. No. When I'm making my parodies, and there's a point where we're getting like £400 a month from revenue off YouTube and Patreon. And that, then I started making songs that I weren't really pleased with because I thought I've got to keep doing things to get money. And it sort of...
It's never fun when you feel like you're now beholden to your audience.
Do you know, I used to make jingles for Radio Mansfield, Radio Leicester, Radio Nottingham, old studio set up. And because I were DJing everywhere, I'd make some of my own songs and I'd play them in clubs, and that's what I loved. But when I started doing these jingles, it became like a job. Like it became where my bills and my mortgage were being paid with this money, and it were awful. It got depressing, and well, I just had to give it all up. And I mean, I had people, keyboardists coming round, ass and guitarists, and it'd be going on till 11 o'clock at night making these jingles. And it once it become a job, I hated it.
When anything becomes a job, you end up kind of hating it. It's just I don't know if that's my personality, but if I get told to do something, I get
that's it.
It's just I want to do something when my brain's ready to do it.
Yeah, me too, yeah. I mean, the barbering thing, I only become a barber so I could work weekends just to get that bit of income so I could spend rest of the week doing what I wanted. Yeah. And because I love barbering. I do 4 days a week now because I quite enjoy. I enjoy next customer coming down and starting a chat with him about stuff. So it's ever so funny how that's worked out. I only wanted the barbering job because I could choose my hours.
Yeah.
It weren't that I liked barbering, and it's become where I fucking love barbering. I'll do it every day at week, I think.
I mean, now I've had a bit of experience in traditional radio and traditional newsrooms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've learned some skills along the way, you know. I've learned how cameras work. I'm probably a bit more confident in presenting and being in front of a camera and stuff like that. That's the kind of thing I wanted to get out of my degree, just some physical skills. I've been in courtrooms now. I can do shorthand and craft proper court stories and stuff.
Wow.
That's all good stuff. But I still have that spirit of I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it.
Yeah.
Like with the regular radio, it's so Ofcom controlled that it's just bollocks. It's meaningless bullshit. Like
you're good at this sort of stuff. You're good at it.
You can't. No. All it is, you could banter and play a song. 2 minutes later, meaningless banter. Play a song. You can't say this without letting the other side say that. It's just does your head in. You can't really do anything inspiring or interesting. It's just
and it's mediocre. Hard to make money off YouTube doing what you want to do as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you're good at what you do. You could build something. You could.
If I put the effort in, I could.
Well, that's it with me. Occasionally, I get this mad inspiration. I put loads of effort in and I dedicate weeks to something. And then a few weeks later, it just goes. And it's a funny thing. I only like doing it if I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Like, I look back to my UK riots documentary, which, when I look at it now, I probably would do it a bit differently now than I did then.
Mm.
But I made that whole thing in the span of a couple of hours because I was that passionate and just zoned in and ready to do it.
It's crazy.
And it came out brilliantly.
Yeah.
And it got like, I don't know, a few hundred thousand views. There was interest, you know, the old Paradigm Shift TV channel that they used to have on Sky. It was basically conspiracy YouTube converted into a weird Sky channel that flew under the radar for a while there.
Yeah.
But I had a couple things that were put on there. But yeah, like when you've got the passion, you can just...
Yeah, you're unstoppable, aren't you?
You can just plow through.
It's those things that come together really quick, they're usually the best ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, Living Next Door to Ali, that was the quickest I'd ever written a song. And that one seems to be the best one. It had 4 million views on Facebook before they took it down. And that were just effortless.
I'd be annoyed if they took it down with that many views.
Oh yeah, that were an annoying day. But somebody had ruined that because they'd put these banners at top at bottom saying, this is a song about Ali Dower, something like that. Living Next Door to Ali Dower. And it's, I like Ali Dower, he's like a Muslim activist.
Mm.
And it sort of ruined it because it weren't about him, it was just about a guy called Ali.
So have you got anything that you're working on currently, or just trying to get through lockdown with your
absolutely
sanity?
Nothing. I mean, I've got a load of unfinished songs, loads. Yeah. I've got some songs finished I just need to make videos for. I've got an Elvis one, I've got another one from the 50s. But now I'm not bothered. I'm just enjoying life at the minute. I've got some books on stoicism and things like this. I'm trying to sort my life out a bit at the moment.
I wish I read more books. I've got stacks of them, but my attention span is shot.
Well, I have to dedicate an hour. I've got my daily stoic, so it's got each got 365 like meditations and quotes from like Marcus Aurelius and these philosophers. Mm. And you read one a day. And they're really short, so I read, instead of getting my phone in the morning, I go and take my book into the toilet with my cup of tea.
Social media is cancer sometimes.
It's, yeah.
The amount of scrolling, looking for notification, oh.
Yeah, well, I'm currently on a ban at the moment, a 30-day ban. There's an article about Hitler on Guardian, and I put Hitler, a true socialist. That got me a 30-day Facebook ban.
That's just...
Unbelievable, isn't it? It's crazy, but it's done me a favour because it gets me off Facebook. I've been thinking about, some people do this thing where they dedicate one day a month to having no stimulation at all. Mm. And I'm gonna give that a whirl. So you've got you can just read a bit of a book, but you just sat with your own thoughts, no TV, no fags, no anything.
I've tried some of the apps that physically block you from clicking on it, because when I have to do my freelancing on my computer, I get so distracted.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll put some of these blocks on, but then you just turn the fucking blocks off after an hour. And
oh, you can do that, can you?
Yeah, so it's not really helping.
Oh no.
But yeah. Like we touched on lockdown briefly there. Boris earlier this week announced his plans to ease the lockdown. Masks are starting to be encouraged behind a lot of other countries for whatever reason, we don't know. But do you have a broad take? I don't know whether you covered this earlier actually, but do you have a broad take on this whole COVID-19 bizarreness?
Yeah, I've got an ideological perspective. Sort of with liberty. I think liberty is far more important than I don't think we should have been locked down at all. No, especially young. It's a funny one. Some areas maybe don't send them to school. I don't know because I'm not clever enough to bloody understand it. But from a liberty perspective, I think they've totally overstepped mark. I do.
Yeah, well,
telling people they've got to shut businesses down. All the money borrowed. Unbelievable amounts that could have been focused in on people who are vulnerable.
Yeah,
create new places where vulnerable people can go if they get sick, so NHS don't get overwhelmed and things. I don't know, there could have been some strategy rather than telling young healthy people who would probably be better off getting the coronavirus, because if it mutates into something stronger, then they're probably definitely going to die. I don't know the science behind it. But, you know, young people, they should have been left alone.
My biggest concern, really, is just the contradictory and just illogical enforcement of the so-called lockdown. You know, police themselves not practicing social distancing, approaching grown people in parks on the countryside, naming and shaming people on social media, stupid fines for stupid reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just seems to show a lack of common sense.
It shows how
easily the police will just go complete Stasi based on a bit of ambiguous statement from Boris Johnson.
It's pretty scary. It's the ambiguousness of it, because there are people who don't use the common sense out there. There are knobhead police. And if the government aren't being specific enough by saying, look, if people are social sunbathing in a park, leave them alone. It's not hard to say. So if you're going to be ambiguous, but if Boris Johnson's going to be ambiguous, the knobheads are going to use it as an excuse to bloody throw the balls in people's face.
Yeah. Even with the mask wearing, you know, first they said it's useless, doesn't help at all. Then they say, oh, well, they do work, but you've got to make your own.
Yeah.
And you draw from that, obviously, they can't actually afford to give everyone a decent mask. Like countries like Turkey and I think Japan and whatever have given every single citizen a pretty decent mask to use. And we know that our government can't afford that.
No.
And I think in reality, a lot of this is about creating an illusion of something being done rather than anything logical and scientifically based being done.
Yeah, absolutely. He's good at that, Boris Johnson. When I watch him speak, he's good at, you know, doing that in his answers, making it look like something's being done.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm back into New World Order conspiracy theories now. All this has kicked off. I'm starting to look into all that again.
I think a thing with the masks is they obviously work to a degree.
I think this, if you've got it, you're less likely to spread it if you've got a mask on. I think that was one of the things they were saying.
But it's all in the fit of the mask and whether you've got, because they've just announced this. People haven't had any guidance about what types of masks to buy, so we're all going to flock to Amazon and get a load of cheap shit. It's going to be uncomfortable, so people are going to be touching their faces more. Probably going to make the whole situation worse unless you have proper guidance about how to use the masks.
Yeah, you see some masks and they've got big gaps at bottom. It doesn't fit around the chin proper. It's pointless wearing one.
Mm. There needs to be proper guidance if that's actually going to be a thing.
But it does, yeah. I mean, I'm not particularly scared of virus, but I'm worried about my mum and dad. They've both got something up with one of their lungs. They're really old.
Well, part of the reason I'm going crackers is I can't actually leave the house at all because I've got some pre-existing shit going on.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I'm going bonkers because...
Yeah, I think I'd be going bonkers by now. I mean, I've got it back of my ass.
I rely on my poor sister to fucking do everything. And it's a bit...
Yeah.
I feel like an invalid. And you get... honestly, mate, you get creepy calls from the government saying, how are you doing? Have you got the number? I'm like, I'll find it. So I'm like, no, here. And get me to jot a number down. I'm basically on a list of, like, infirm people. I'm ready for the... For the fucking camps, the fucking trains to pick me up and wheel me off. Like, I'm only 29. Like, trying to leave me alone.
Yeah, I know some people like that.
But yeah, like, not all your work is all about humour and controversy. You've done some pretty serious stuff as well. I thought your School Sucks video was quite interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that I made that a few years ago, 2017 or 2015 or something, I can't remember. I just thought I'd put it on Facebook recently.
Yeah, it quite rightly demonstrates that whatever we've been doing in this country regarding education, it's not really working, is it?
No, it's having the opposite effect of what they intended to do. So having the more money they pump in, the less educated we become. But what they do, they shift. They mess about with the exams, so they're easier over time, what seems to be happening.
And they're training people really for exams rather than important skills and actual knowledge and nurturing people on their own strengths and weaknesses and stuff.
Exactly, yeah. Everybody must learn at this speed, these specific subjects, or else.
And what was your experience like at school? I mean, I get the sense that you were a bit of a terror, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I was just never interested. I was bored, fooling around all the time. The only interest I had interest in science and like woodwork and metalwork and things like that. Nothing. It didn't interest me whatsoever. I used to copy my mate's work. He was sat at side of me, stuff like that. You know, if my interest for science and the woodwork aspect of things was more focused on, I could have learnt mathematics through that.
Yeah. You know, there's never one size fits all, is there?
No, there never is. Imagine what the skills and the things you'd learn from being taught how to build a house.
Yeah.
Lay bricks, you know, cut wood. Make doors, staircases, over 12 years, surely they can teach you some skills at school that's going to prepare you for the world.
Even just personal finances, how to fix things around the house.
Yeah.
How to, you know.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if at school they had a house that you lived in for a week with some other students and you had to cook and look after each other?
Yeah.
Wow. It's so easy to do, but it's not about that, is it, school? So you can't have a well-informed, educated population if you're a ruling class and you want to secure your monopoly of power.
I mean, I had to laugh the other day when I realised all through my education, whether it was primary school, secondary school, college, I mean, it's a bit different at uni because I'm a quite mature student.
Yeah. But
I've always had the same feedback, no matter what, any report card, any feedback, it was always, does great, pretty much top of the class, A's and B's, excellent pupil, but a bit quiet and doesn't join in.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, who the fuck gives a fuck?
Yeah.
If I'm doing well.
That's
it,
isn't
it? I even got the same, and this sent me for a loop. I had to have some introspection after this. I got a work placement at a newspaper, and they're like, excellent story ideas, produce great content for us, very professional, really serious in his work, took everything seriously. Bit quiet, though. I'm like, what the... I went up to you and you told me to piss off, basically, so what do you want me to do?
My goodness. Well, what school should have done, if that was your report every year, similar sort, they should have made you stand in front of class and speak more often. But they don't, they're not bothered, are they?
They don't get paid enough to care, do they?
Really? No, they don't, that's it. Well, this is the thing in Finland. They get paid like doctors and firefighters and police. In Finland, the proper looked at teachers are looked at as it's like an high standard job. And that's why they're very successful in Finland. Very successful with the pupils.
Well, they give them more attention by the looks of it.
Yeah, they have three teachers to each class. Three teachers. And they pull out their natural interests out of them and they harness them. Yeah, and there's a lot. They're only at school, I think, 5 hours a day with a break after each lesson. They don't start till like 10. It's something like that. It's really relaxed.
I mean, it should be like, you remember getting up so early and feeling like absolute shit and then chomping down on some E numbers and...
Oh, God. I used to go to school half asleep, yeah.
I mean, I think I only ever did well at education in school or whatever because I taught myself. The teacher would ramble on about all the shit and then I'd go home and be like, oh, only about a third of that makes any sense. Mm. I'll do it my way and then I'll get the grade.
Like, that's amazing. That's amazing. I didn't even do that. I didn't listen. I probably did. I mean, you don't know what sticks in your subconscious that you can't remember learning.
No.
But, it's a shame. I so wish I could go back. And I'd just soak it all in and learn as much as I can. Because it's not hard, is it, when you look back now?
No.
No, I'm interested in history now. I love it. I went back then.
Something that concerns me, you know, just having, I'm about at graduation, but that's not going to happen. I've got to wait till next April to graduate, even though I should be graduating.
All right.
Because of fucking Corona. But my thing is, the sheer amount of people that actually go to university now is astronomical.
Yeah.
The government wants everyone to go.
It's lowered the value, isn't it?
Don't get me wrong. Everyone should have the opportunity to go. But yeah. That student loan bubble is just another thing that's going to burst at some point.
Yeah.
It's just a growing debt bubble because it's not getting paid back. I'm not paying it back.
Well, it feeds in because it lowers the value of those your grades and things. If everybody's getting those grades, they're all flooding into the job market. It sort of lowers the value of them.
Yeah, and for a lot of them, there is no jobs.
No, that's it, yeah. I'm with Peter Hitchens on, like, grammar schools and things.
Mm.
Bringing those back and selection by ability and things like this.
I mean, I chose journalism. As annoying as some of the elements are, you know, you'd have to tell me that. I railed against mainstream media for years, but
yeah.
there are still some skills that I picked up on. But then you get those degrees that are just purely academic mumbo-jumbo where all you really get out of it is office job number 3.
Yeah.
Millions of other kids are looking for office job number 3. It's just not going to be there.
No.
It doesn't look like a sustainable system to me.
No.
Well, I don't know if you've got anything else you'd like to add. Anything coming up? Anything worth throwing out there?
No, I mean, I'm looking forward to getting back to work and making some more videos.
Yeah.
I need to try and make that a bit better because, like, when the graders are on and I'm cutting people's ear, you struggle to hear what they're saying. So I've got to figure that out.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, it'll come again. I'll start making songs again. There just needs to be a few more issues out there for me now. I don't want to keep doing the same stuff. And I want to be less edgy as well, less controversial. There's a million subjects I could write. It's just putting my mind to it, going through some songs, having a listen, picking out ones that I can actually attempt to sing. Yeah.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps things up for today's episode. But just before we go, because there'll probably be comments either side on this, really. I don't necessarily agree with everything that Dan does or says, and I'm pretty sure Dan doesn't necessarily agree with everything I've done or say. I just want to create a place where we can have reasonable discussions with reasonable people that I find interesting and I want to speak to. I think it's important not to get into this extreme polarization that we see out there today. Everyone's always at each other. No, let's just have a dialogue. Let's just have a chat. People are normal people, regardless of what content they put out. Unless I get a guest that's obviously completely off their rocker, then maybe that's a different story. But I'm perfectly happy to speak to people from all ends of the spectrum and have a reasonable conversation. I don't know if you've got anything to add to that, but
well, you're very good at this. You are. If just one guest a week, and you know, I think that would be a great thing for a start on your, because you're really good at it. I mean, I can remember when you made 7-7 Ripple Effect, was it?
7-7. What did they know? The Ripple Effect one is the one that I took the piss out.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've been watching you ever since back then, and you were really good at it.
Good, well, I appreciate that. Of course, if you can find all my work, my most read blogs. Ignore all the spam. I get paid for people to spam on the site, but I try and keep that separate from the main content. My documentary style videos are on there. That's wideshut.co.uk. It's also Wideshut UK on YouTube and Facebook, and you can also follow me on Twitter at @AltNewsUK. The podcast is available on Stitcher if you prefer to listen to it on mobiles. Just search Wideshut UK. Dan, have you got any social accounts or anything you'd like to plug there?
I'm on Facebook, Daniel Bostock on Facebook, and YouTube, Daniel Bostock, and then I'm on BitChute and places like that. Just give me a follow if you want.
Excellent. Well, thanks for everyone for listening today, and hopefully I'll be back in the next week or so, not the next year or so, the next week or so, for a new episode of the White Shirt Podcast. Catch everyone later.